that he wrote the names of other Jews. Jewish families, he wrote their names. Chaim der Sheichet, he wrote on one of them. Shmuel ben Melamed, he wrote the name of the Sheichet, of the teacher. He wrote the name of the Sefer. Thomas is tricky. He knew the names, and he knew how to write Hebrew. He even knew how to write some Yiddish words. He knew how to write the Aleph Beis. And he put all of these names on the bottles. And Titus thinks to himself, when I get through, it's going to make it look like the Jews had these bottles of blood for their matzahs. Like we make up that the Jews use the blood in their matzahs. It's going to look like every family got his own bottle of blood to use for his matzahs. Oh, is this going to make trouble for these Jews? And then Tadus took all the bottles and he put them into a box. He put the cover on the box and he went down the hall, the end of the hall, and he took out a key from his pocket. And he opened up a door way down in the end of the hall that nobody knew about, a secret door. And he lit a big torch. A torch is like a big fire on a stick. And he goes now on the other side of the door through a tunnel. A secret tunnel that went under the mountain. And he's going way, way under the tunnel. Far, far under the mountain. And at the end of the tunnel, there's another door on a stick. And he goes now on the other side of the door through a tunnel. A secret tunnel that went under the mountain. And he's going way, way under the tunnel. Far, far under the mountain. And he's carrying the box of bottles, and he's also carrying the dead boy in a bag. And at the end of the tunnel, there's another door. And over by that door, he comes out, and he is in a very strange building. This building did not have, like this room has four walls, or like most rooms have four walls. This room had five walls. The room had five walls on it. It was built with five walls. And in fact, this room is inside of a building, and the building also had five walls. And it had five doors, and it had five windows. It was called the Five-Sided Palace. And in this five-sided palace, there used to live a duke, like a king, and he used to fool everybody to think that he was special. And how did he fool everybody? Because he would tell everybody that on Sunday morning, I'm going to be in church, but I'm never going to go outside. I'm going to disappear, fly through the air, and be in church. And that's what I can do. I have magic powers. And people used to say, his friends, other poets and people like that who were his friends, they would say, oh, it's impossible, Duke. The only way to get to the church is to go on the road that goes over the mountain, like everybody else does. On Sunday morning, they go out of their houses, and they go on the one road that goes over the mountain, and over there, from this part of the neighborhood, that's the only way to get to the big green church. There's no other way. Unless, of course, you climb the mountain off the road, or you go on the other side of the mountain on another road. Otherwise, there's no way to get there. And the Duke would say, you just go out and go stand on the road and see if I go out of my house or not. Even you could have people that are looking at my house, my five-sided palace, to see if I go out of the house or not. You're not going to see me go out. But when you go to the church, you're going to see me there. And sure enough, every Sunday morning, people would always watch to see if the Duke comes out of his house. Kids would go to watch. People would go to watch. They'd never see any doors open. But when they went to the church Sunday morning, the Duke would be there. And nobody knew how he would get there. And they thought he was really flying through the air with magic powers. Really, he had a secret tunnel, and only he and Tadus knew the secret, and they would make such a joke that he would go through the secret tunnel under the mountain. He had one key, and Tadus had the other key. And he would play the trick on the people and just go through the tunnel and get there a little bit early. And that's all it was. Now, when this duke died, so people were afraid to move into his house, and in fact, his family didn't want to sell the house to anybody, so they just left it there, and they just locked it up, and nobody went inside. People were afraid of it. They thought it was, you know, like haunted with Shindalids. And it happened to be, actually, in the end of the Jewish neighborhood. Right next to the Jewish neighborhood was this five-sided palace. And across the street was the shul. This was across the street from the shul. It was a very, very big yard, and this palace was in the middle. And across the street started the Jewish neighborhood, and by the end of the Jewish neighborhood was the shul. Tadus, who came out from the other side of the tunnel, he hid the box in one of the rooms, together with the bag with a dead boy in it. And Tadus is laughing. He says, I'm going to start such a lie, and from this lie is going to come out a search of all the police. And the police are going to search for a missing child, and I'm going to make such a lie that a child disappears every year for the Jews to use his blood to bake matzahs. And they're going to search the Jewish neighborhood because they're going to suspect the Jews did something to the child. And when they search the five-sided palace and they find the bottles of blood with Jewish names and families, they're going to think that the Jews hid it here to use for their matzahs. And when all the goyim find out that the Jews did this, there's going to be a big, big riot. And there's going to be a lot of trouble for the Jews. All the goyim are going to come and make so much trouble for all the Jews when they find out. It's a perfect plan. I get back my servant, and I get the Jews in trouble, and of course the Maharal, because his name is on the big bottle. And Tadus goes out, back through the tunnel, back to his church. And he's so happy with himself. He's so proud of himself. He thinks he's such a smarty pants. He's so smarty. And he goes back to the palace, to the church. And it's getting late. The sun is going down. And he goes back and looks out the window. And he sees the family is still out in the yard, but this time they're not working. They're searching, they're looking everywhere. And Tadus pretends nothing happened, and he says out the window, hey, get to work, you didn't finish cleaning the yard yet. What's going on? I said to clean up the yard. And the servant said, Tadus, our six-year-old boy, he's missing. We're looking all over for him. Well, did you see him? Tadus says, I didn't see him. What do you think? I'm busy in the church the whole day. I didn't see your six-year-old boy. Well, where was he last? Wait a minute, I'm coming out. Wait 1 minute. And Tadus goes down the stairs out into the yard. And the mother, the wife of the servant, and the servant, they're crying, and the other children are crying. We can't find the six-year-old boy. Tadus, help us. Well, we don't know where he is. Tadus says, where did you see the boy last? He was by the corner. His job was to clean up the corner over there on the other side of the big bushes near the road. Tadus says, what? You left a boy by himself by the road on the other side of the big bushes this time of the year? A little boy? And the mother says, oh, what's wrong, Tadus? What's wrong with letting our boy over there? What do you mean this time of year? Well, what's this time of year anyway? It's our holiday coming up. Tadus says, but don't you know who else has a holiday coming up? And don't you know how dangerous it is for our children? Well, no, Tadus, what are you talking about? He says, the Jews have a holiday called Pesach. And they bake matzahs. Do you know what they put in their matzahs? Now, of course, this is a lie, right? Well, no, Father, we don't know what they use in the matzahs. Well, what's a matzah? It's a big cracker. And over there, they make it water and flour. But it doesn't taste good enough, so you know what they use? Blood. Oh, that's yucky. Well, where do they get blood? They get it from a child that they catch every year. That's why you have to watch your kids this time of year. You never know when a Jew might catch a child. Oh, Tadis, that's terrible. Oh, wait a minute, Tadis says, I just remembered something I saw this afternoon. I was looking out the window, and on the road, I saw a Jew. You know, with a beard and a big hat, and he had over there a long coat, and he had those strings coming out of his pants. You know a Jew, what he looks like? And this Jew had a big bag on his shoulder. A very big bag. And he kept looking over his shoulder, like looking around to see if anybody's looking at him. And he was running away. And I thought to myself, what is a Jew doing in this part of the neighborhood? He's not the Jewish part of the neighborhood. And he was right over there where you say your child was working. And he had a big bag on his shoulder. And I was wondering, what could he have in that bag? It even looked to me the bag was moving, but I thought, no, it couldn't be the bag was moving. And the mother says, Tadis, but maybe that man took her a child. Tadis says, I hope not. I kind of look, do you think Tadis really saw this yid with a bag? Or he was making up a big, gigantic lie. He was making up a big, gigantic lie. Just to make trouble, to get his servant back to take the kummer, and to get the Jews in trouble, especially the Maharal. But the servant and his wife believed it because the child was gone. And Tadis says, you made a big mistake leaving your child alone this time of year by the side of the road. Well, Tadis, what should we do? What can we do? You better go to the police right away and tell them that Tadis says there should be a very big search of the Jewish neighborhood. And they should search every house and every building and every place until they find your son. And they should not give up until they find him. Because I think that that's where he is. Somewhere in the Jewish neighborhood. I hope he's still alive. And they ran to the police station. And they got there. It was already pretty late. And they told the police what had happened and what Tadis had said. And the chief of police said, first thing in the morning, 300 policemen are going to search the Jewish neighborhood. And we'll find your boy. Right now, most of the policemen have gone home. And so we can't get them, you know. It's late. So first thing in the morning, we'll start searching the Jewish neighborhood. And so Tadis went to sleep that night in his pajamas, smiling, and he was so happy with himself. I'm going to wake up early in the morning and go with the police, pretending, of course, I don't know anything. And I'll make sure they get into that five-sided palace and find the bottles of blood. And of course they won't know how to read the Hebrew, so I'll help them out. And there's going to be a big, big riot and big trouble for the Jews. And the Maharal is going to get in big trouble. I'll make sure all the girls find out about it. And Tadis went to sleep in his pajamas. And that night, Kimelech, was the night of Bedikas Chametz, the night of Erev Pesach. And while Tadis was sleeping, the Maharal, Lahavdil, was up. He was up, getting ready to do the search for Chametz, Bedikas Chametz. And next to him was his shamish, Avram Chaim. And Avram Chaim was holding the candle and the feather and the bag and the wooden spoon. and he was holding the siddur or the Haggadah, and the Maharal put on his girdle and he took the candle and he said the bracha, barakata Hashem alkinim alchilah, ma'asher kiddushanu b'mitzvei sav v'sivanu al bir chametz. And he started to search. Avraham Chaim had already put down the 10 pieces all around, which we did beforehand, wrapped up in the paper. And the Maharal made his bedikas chametz. And when he was done, and he had found the 10 pieces and searched all over the place, looking in every place that he was supposed to search that chametz might go, he wrapped that string around the spoon and around the bag, and all the chametz was in there that he had found, the 10 pieces. And now he takes the siddur and he's going to say the Kol Chamira V'Chamiya, which is called Bittul Chametz. That you tell Hashem, in case there's something you didn't find, it should be like nothing and like the dust of the earth. This is very important. You must say this and you must understand what it means. And so the Maharal started to say the words Kol. Now remember, the words in the siddur say Kol Chamira V'Chamiya, all kinds of chametz and yeast. Kol Chamira V'Chamiya Dika Bereshusi. Those are the words. And the Maharal looked at the words. He also looked at the words in his siddur. And he said, Kol Chamira V'Chamisha. All of a sudden, when he said the word Chamisha, a wind, a cold wind blew and blew out the candle. And Avraham Chaim got very, like chills up his spine. He heard the word Kol Chamira V'Chamisha. The siddur doesn't say Chamisha, it says Chamiya. Now, the Maharal for sure knows how to read the Aleph Beis. He knows Kriya. He's a tzaddik who knows so many things that other people don't know. He for sure knows how to read Aleph Beis. Why did he say the word Chamisha? And why did a cold wind blow out the candle? Where is that wind blowing from? The windows are closed. And they lit the candle again, and the Maharal said again, Kol Chamira V'Chamisha. And as soon as he said the word Chamisha, another wind blew in and blew out the candle. Avraham Chaim knew something is happening over here, not a regular thing. And the Maharal lit the candle again a third time, and he says to Avraham Chaim, you say it. And Avraham Chaim said, Kol Chamira, and as he's going to say the word Chamira, the ayin flew out, and a shin came in. It came into the word, and he read the word Chamisha. The word Chamisha was there, because the ayin flew out, and a shin came in. And he didn't want to say it, he was afraid, because he never saw such a thing happen before. He says, Kol Chamira V'cha. The Maharal says, say the next word, what's written there. V'chamisha. He says the word Chamisha. A wind blows out the candle. A third time. The Maharal says, something is going on over here. A sign from Hashem. What it is exactly, I don't know. But there's a sign from Hashem that we cannot make Bittul Chametz. We cannot make the Kol Chamira V'Chamiya. Why not? Bittul Chametz means you searched everywhere that you can, you got rid of the Chametz, and now in case there's something that you cannot find, Hashem gets rid of it for you. Hashem is showing us that there must be some more Chametz that we could find. There must be more Chametz that we could find, that we should not just make a bittul on, that Hashem should take care of it. We have to take care of it. And because we didn't find it yet, Hashem is not letting us say the bittul chametz. Because we have to find more chametz. And Avraham Chaim says, but we found the 10 pieces. And you searched everywhere you're supposed to search. And the Maharal says, there's 2 kinds of chametz. There's a chametz that's a bread, or a cake, or a cookie. That is something that we can see with our eyes, and we can eat this kind of regular chametz. And then there's the chametz of the Yetzer Hara, chametz is a puffy thing, and it means the Yetzer Hara, which is all puffed up, make himself big. There must be some chametz of the Yetzer Hara that is still somewhere. Maybe it's something that's making trouble for the Jewish people. It's not just in this room. And since I'm responsible for the Jewish people, I have to find out what it is. There's still chametz that we have to find. Something from the Yetzer Hara that we have to find. I'm not exactly sure what it is. And all of a sudden, the Maharal put his hand to his head. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Chamisha. What is the word chamisha? Five. That's very strange. Last night, I had a dream. I just remembered the dream. I just remembered that dream now that I had last night. I think, if I think about this dream, it might help us to understand what is happening here. And here's the dream, the Maharal says. I was in shul, and in fact, you were in shul, and all the Yidden were in shul. The shul was packed with people. It was very, very busy in shul. And all of a sudden there was screaming from the other side of the shul, from the back of the shul, and there was fire shooting in through the windows. And people were screaming from this fire. And people turned around, where is the fire coming from? And they saw, the ones that were by the windows of the shul, that the fire was shooting out from across the street from the five-sided palace. That old palace that nobody goes into. That's just a big korban. Fire was shooting out from there across the street, all the way into the shul, making everybody scream. And everybody was afraid. And I woke up from the dream, and I must have forgotten the dream till now. I knew that I had a dream, but I forgot all about it. And now that this has happened with the candle and the strange word, chamisha, I all of a sudden remember the dream because the word chamisha means five. And the fire was shooting out from the five-sided palace. And the Maharal says, I think the dream means this. From the five-sided palace is coming out trouble, like the fire. And the trouble is coming out to the Jews. There must be something inside of there that is chametz of the Yetzer Hara. And this is a big danger for us. We didn't find it yet. And we have to get rid of this before we make our bir chametz and our bittel chametz. We have to get. And only then can we say we've done everything possible that we could do to get rid of chametz. And Hashem will help with the rest. And so the Maharal said, tonight, we're going to the five-sided palace. And Avram Chaim began to shake. And the Maharal said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of a building, what might be in the building. Just be afraid of Hashem. And so the Maharal called the Goylem, Yassel the Goylem, and Avram Chaim, and the Maharal. They went in the middle of the night when nobody would see what they're going to do. And they went over to the five-sided palace that nobody goes in. And they open up the door, and they hear strange noises. Avram Chaim would have run away, but he's with the Maharal, and the Maharal is a big tzaddik, and he gives the koyach to be close to Hashem. You're not afraid of just regular things. And they go in, and it was very dark, and the floor is falling through certain places, and it's very creaky. And so the Maharal says to the Goylem, go inside and find out what is the problem. And the Goylem goes inside, and he goes from room to room, and he finds a box. And he brings the box out to the Maharal, where the Maharal is waiting. And the Maharal opens up the box, and he sees the bottles of blood. And he pulls them up, and he reads the names on the labels, and he sees his name, and the name of the Shochet, the Sheikhet, he sees the name of the Melamed, the teacher, he sees the names of different Yidin, and he sees that somebody is making a terrible trick. And the Golem also found this bag with the dead boy, and they saw what was doing. They saw that somebody had killed this child, and was making it look like the Jews had killed the child for the blood. Alulas Dom. It's called a blood libel. And this was going to be a very, very big danger. And so the Maral said to the Golem, take care of this. And the Golem put the child in the bag over his shoulder. And the Maral himself took the bottles, he took them outside, and he buried the whole thing and put leaves over it that you shouldn't be able to see it. And the Golem took the dead boy in the bag, and he walked into the rooms of the five-sided palace until he came to a certain door, and he was able to open the lock on the door, and he went through into a tunnel. And the Golem went all the way under the mountain, following the tunnel to the end. And on the other side, he was able to open up the lock on the other side. And then he took the dead boy from the bag, and he went into the room with the wine under the church, and he buried the dead boy in the corner, in the dirt floor of that room. And the Golem came back. And then the Maharal and the Golem and Avraham Chaim went home. And the next morning was that of Pesach. Because we make the Bedikas Chometz the night before Pesach, which is the beginning of Erev Pesach. And Erev Pesach is very busy. Everybody goes to shul very early to daven, because you have to eat the Chometz by a certain time, and you have to burn the Chometz by a certain time. And there's siyumim if you're a Bechor, if you're a firstborn. You have to fast, or so you have to hear a siyum. And then if you hear the siyum, you can eat. And if you're under bar mitzvah, your tati has to fast for you. And tati has to go hear a siyum, so he could eat, if you're a bechor. And everybody was very, very busy. And all of a sudden, people looked outside, and they saw 300 policemen coming. And the chief of police, and Tadus, and they start going into homes without knocking. And the wife, the mommy of the house, all of a sudden sees many policemen coming into her house, going, well, what's going on? Her mommy's trying to get the last things done for the morning, and she's cooking, and she's trying to do things for Pesach, and all of a sudden a bunch of people come into her house, and they start messing things up, searching around, looking in cupboards and drawers and closets. Well, what's going on over here? We're looking for a child, a dead child. And we suspect that you Jews did it, and we're searching every house, and we're not going to give up until we find him. And the policemen go from house to house, and they're searching all over the place. And they search all the Jewish homes, they're searching all around. And the chief of police says to Tadus, it doesn't look like we found him yet. We've gone on all the streets, we've gone in all the homes. And Tadus says, well, we have to search every building. We have to search the stores, we have to search the schools, go into the shul. And they looked all over the place, they still didn't find. And now Tadus says, go across the street to the five-sided palace. And the policeman started to shake, no, we're not going to go in there. No, it's spooky in there. It's too scary. Oh, we're not going to go into that building. Tadus says, look, where might the Jews hide? Where might the Jews hide it? Maybe over there, because they know that everybody's afraid to go in. No, we shouldn't be afraid. We're going to go in and find what we have to find. And the chief of police ordered his policeman, go into the five-sided palace and don't be a bunch of fraidy scaredy cats. And the police started to go across the street. And they went into the five-sided palace. They were so afraid. and they lit torches and they went into the dark rooms. And over there was bugs crawling over the place and spiders and mice running around and funny noises and spider webs all over the place. And they're searching from room to room. And the police didn't find anything. They came out. They said, "We didn't find anything in there." Tadas says, "Impossible. Did you search every room?" "Yes, Tadas, we looked at every place. We didn't find anything." Tadas says, "I'm going in by myself. You come with me, but I'm going in too." And Tadas goes in, and he goes now from room to room, pretending that he doesn't know anything. And he goes into the room that he knows that he hid the child and the bottles, and he sees it's empty.